Father, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. And we thank you for our time today, here and now. God, I believe you've drawn every one of us in this place today. God, I pray that we would truly have eyes to see and ears to hear directly from you today. God, help us to see what we need to see. Father, I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit, you would pinpoint this message to every heart that's in this place. God, that we would be hungry for truth, that God, our ears would hear it, our heart would receive it, God, we'd open for it, and God, we would respond to this truth. We'd respond to your word this morning. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our time of worship and praise and giving thanks to you this morning. We thank you that your word is alive and powerful, God. It has the ability to change our lives. God, you are a good, gracious, kind, loving, amazing, all-powerful, all-knowing God who've allowed us, your creation, to know you on a deeper level and to increase in your knowledge through your word. Father, speak to us today. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, put this in my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to get into this. We're talking about giving thanks and really understanding what it is to give thanks. I know that this is Thanksgiving season. Thursday is a huge day. We love it. Turkey, food, family. And it's an awesome time to really give thanks. But it's seasonal, right? I mean, Thanksgiving is a holiday. It's seasonal. It comes and it goes. But for believers, man, for the church, you and I who are Christians, please don't think that giving thanks is seasonal for us, that we got to understand, man, and please hear this, man, because I'm going to speak on something this morning that has the ability immediately to rearrange your family, your home, your workplace. It has the ability to rearrange your attitude. I mean, this is one of those things, if we really understand what God says about us as his followers to give thanks, it can change everything. And it's not seasonal, folks. Come on, look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. I want you to see this. Verse 16 says this. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. I love this. Come on, verse 16. Rejoice always. That always isn't seasonal. Always isn't because it's a holiday season. We're supposed to rejoice and give. No, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. And the word in everything, it means in all things. In all things, give thanks. And I love this. Highlight this for you if you would. It says this. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So often I get a question. Well, I don't know what God's will is for me. What can I tell you? I know, I absolutely guarantee that one of the things that God's will is for you is exactly very clear and very well written where it says, in all things we are to give thanks, and that's God's will for us. Can you understand? When you get this to say, God, in everything, in all things, if I want to walk in your will, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that we are his agents here on earth, that we're to come to a place to say, God, let your kingdom come through us, your ambassadors. Jesus Christ says, Sean, you are my ambassador. You represent me while you're on the earth. So let my kingdom come through you and let my will be done through you while you're here on the earth. And a part of my will for you and through you is that, Sean, in all things, in everything, Sean, that you would give thanks. See, folks, as Christians, that's not seasonal. That's a sense that, God, I want to. It is my desire to walk in your will. It's my desire to really understand what your will is for my life. And a part of that, folks, is to give thanks. Bible says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Is your prayer life, can I ask you this? Is your prayer life full of thanksgiving? Because if we are going to connect with God and recognize what it is to walk, not in season, but day after day after day after day, and what it is to have a thankful heart and to walk in a sense of thanksgiving and in everything, in all things, to know what it is to give thanks. And then he tells us, listen, this is my will for you. I want you to understand what it is to give thanks in everything. That even in our prayer, is your prayer covered with thanksgiving? Be anxious for nothing. Gang, this is it when you understand. I am not going to walk in stress. I'm not going to walk in worry. I'm not going to walk in anxiety, because he tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. There it is, in everything. Look at this. Here it is again in 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. In everything, I'm not going to be anxious, because I am going to cry out my prayer and my supplication, and added to that is going to be with thanksgiving. Then I begin to make my request be known to God. Is your prayer life, folks, your day after, and I'm hoping you're praying daily, man. I'm hoping you are on your face before God, crying out for your day, crying out for God's power and his authority in your life, crying out for your husband, for your wife, crying out for your children, crying out if you are single, crying out for your day-to-day activity, being available to serve him. But, well, will your prayer life to be full and packed with a sense of what it is to come before him and give thanks? Is your prayer life something that you have so much to be so thankful for, that your prayer life is covered? When you go to God day after day after day, you enter in and you come before him first by giving thanks. That's the depth of what it means to give thanks. Let me just break down life real simple for you. Because we're to give thanks, I believe, in two areas. There's really only two areas to life in this sense. There's the temporary, and then there's the eternal. God breaks down life for us real quick. He says, listen, your breath here on earth, your time here on earth is like a breath, man. It is like a vapor. It is like a shadow. It is here today, and it is gone tomorrow. And listen, this is what God says about the temporary. It's short. God says about the eternal that it is forever. But in a sense, folks, when we understand what it means, in all things, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What are the temporary things? I mean, honestly, when's the last time that you look, okay, what is temporary? My marriage, my spouse, my children, praise God, they're gifts, they come, they go. Praise God for a job, for finances, that's temporary. Thank God for my life, my eyesight, my breath, my health, temporary. And you can begin to lump things that are temporary, and then you get to get on this side and say, for that which is eternal, man, that is my salvation, that is my forever, that is for me, where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me, that there is no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more grief, there's no more wickedness, there's no more sin, there's no more confusion. All of that is forever, man. I get to stand before God's throne and worship and worship and worship, where there doesn't even need to be a sun, because the Father exuminates through his light. I mean, that is, man, we can get pumped for that, man. We can get juiced for everything that is eternal. And you come to a point to say, man, where am I? And giving thanks in everything, man, in all things, in the temporary. When's the last time, if you were married, when's the last time you honestly gave thanks for your wife? That, I mean, she knows that you are grateful. Not that you say it once a month or once a year or on her birthday or on your anniversary, but you come to a place, honestly, day after day after day, that you begin to, that she begins to really understand, my husband is grateful that I am his wife. What about husbands? Wives, did your husband know that, man, my wife, she honestly is grateful that I am her man. She is thankful that I am hers, that I am her covering, that I am her man, that I am her provider. Man, she is amazed by that. I mean, do you tell your husband how thankful you are for how hard he works? I mean, these are the things that are the temporary, where God says, man, it's my will for you. This is my will for you, that you would understand in everything, man, in all things, you are to be grateful and you are to give thanks. What about that marriage? Because, well, Sean, you don't know. How am I supposed to give thanks in everything when my marriage is just awful? How am I supposed to come to this place to walk in God's will and have this sense of rejoicing always and praying without ceasing and understand what it is to give thanks in everything when I don't want to be with my spouse? What can I say? Just maybe, if we actually understood the reality of this truth in our marriage, that if we actually walked in a sense where our husband and our wife knew how amazing and thankful we were, that your marriage may not be in that position. When you understand it's God's will for you in all things, in everything, to give thanks and what that does. Listen, honestly, please hear this, because this is a truth. This is a truth that can rearrange your home. This is a truth that can rearrange your workplace. This is a truth when you understand as a Christian, man, as a believer, God's Spirit reigns in me, and in that authority, in that where I can overcome all things, and even in a sense of a bad job, even in a sense of a rough marriage, I can have a sense to be thankful. And in that, man, I know that's God's will, and that just maybe God can begin to flip hearts around, where my wife begins to understand how amazing and how thankful and how sincere I am in all that she does. Maybe my husband would come to a place to realize just how awesome and incredible that I really believe that he is. And you come to a place to say, even in the temporary, man, I can find a way to be thankful, because I know that that is God's will for me. Because that's what he says his will is for me, is in all things give thanks. Husband and wife in this place, serious question. Man, where are you in this? Is your home a place where your marriage is a place that is full of praise for one another? Full of what it is to understand, to be thankful for each other. That, man, God delivered you to me, and I am the luckiest man on this planet. God delivered you to me, and I am the luckiest woman on this planet. And you begin, honestly, a sense, day after day after day, giving thanks for what you want to rearrange your marriage. That's a heck of a start. And then what about parents looking at their kids, knowing that, man, God says they are gifts and they're seasonal, man. You will train them up and you will send them out. There's a day that they grow and they go. That's what happens with kids. They grow, they go. Some parents would rather them grow faster and go faster. Some parents would rather that process to slow down, I guess. I don't know. But in a sense, it's a good thing they do grow and they go. But do your kids know how amazed you are that God allowed them to be under your care, because they are, Psalms 127 says, they are a gift from God. And God has deposited, Renee and I, three of these amazing gifts. And we're just overwhelmed and thankful that God has given us three children. How incredible that is. And man, do your kids know? Parents, I mean, honestly, are you crazy busy that you didn't have time to say thank you to your kids? And recognize, God, I'm going to treat them like a gift because I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. This is the temporary stuff. But in everything, you want to change the atmosphere of your home. You want to walk in a sense where your home is full of love and joy and peace. Then it comes to a point that even in our time of prayer, we're constantly, constantly giving thanks for marriage, constantly giving thanks for children. What about children? Are you giving thanks to your parents? Listen, growing up, I mean, mom and dad would be, 13, 14, 15 years old, and they would say, Sean, you'll understand one day when you're a parent. Like, that meant nothing to me at 14. Like, what do I care about parenthood at, like, four? Like, legit, maybe your parents never said that. They said that to me all the time. Well, you'll understand the love of a mom, and you'll understand the love of a dad. When you have kids, you'll understand it. Well, I'm 14. No kids in the future. I mean, they're old. Like, what are you talking about, kids? I don't know. But how true is it that when you become parents, you actually understand what your parents said by that, by the sacrifice that parents give and the love that parents give and the things that parents do for their kids? Let me ask you, children, are you thankful? Are you thankful for your parents? Because one day, as you're a parent, you'll understand what a parent does and what a mom does for her kids and what a dad does for their kids, and how there is just a life changes with children, a concentration changes with children, purpose changes with children, and then it becomes about the kids. And there's so much that goes into raising children. And children just don't get it. But young people, teenagers, children, where are you in a sense of honestly being grateful and being thankful for the sacrifices that your parents make for you? Because the Bible says, and there's no age in this, there's no age to God's will for you, but in everything we are to give thanks, for that is God's will for you. And this is to children, this is to teens, this is to those who are single, this is to the parents, this is to the husbands and to the wives. I want to just touch one more thing before we move on. What about the temporary of a job? Because, man, I believe this with everything in me, that if you are a Christian and you are following according to the scripture, that you're supposed to be salt and you're supposed to be light and you're supposed to, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if somebody actually said, Sean, I like you. I want you to work for me. Their choice to hire me as a Christian, I want to be in that job for the glory of God. I want to do all things without complaint. I want to be amazingly thankful for a workplace. I want to be so grateful that God opened the door for me and they actually like me enough to hire me, that you, the Christian, the born-again believer, would be the absolute best employee of every company that you would work for. Wouldn't it be amazing if that were true? Wouldn't it be awesome if the water cooler wasn't a part of your world and you're not the one complaining and crying about the boss and you're not the one complaining about the raise that you just got, that it wasn't enough? Listen, I was union president for the Olean PD. I'm very aware of the complaints on, we just got a raise and for some reason it wasn't enough. But yet when I went to get hired, I was just so pumped and blessed because there were so many other people that they could have picked, but they picked me. They wanted me to work for them, and it was my dream job. And gang, I tell you what, I'm one who have never forgot that. I'm one who understood what it was that you will have my best, because I know that there were so many other people in line for that job, but for whatever reason, you picked me. You didn't have to, but you did. And in that, I am grateful. But isn't it amazing that as time goes on, we lose that? And then we begin to take things for granted. Isn't it amazing that when we stop being thankful in a marriage, that's when we start taking one another for granted. When we stop being thankful for our mom and dad, that's when we begin to take them for granted. When you stop being thankful for your workplace, that you have a job and they wanted to hire you, that's when we begin to take the job for granted. Because I believe that if you are truly a born-again believer, you should probably be the absolute best employee of that company. And not come to a place to rag and complain about everyone you work with, including your boss, and they're the ones who actually said yes to your application. On every level, part-time, full-time, whatever time, that, man, this is what happens. Honestly, this is what I'm saying. When you understand what it is to be thankful, and when you understand that it is God's will for us in everything that is temporary, to be amazed and to be thankful for what God has given us, that rearranges attitude, folks. That rearranges our sense of what is going to exit from our mouth, if it's complaint or it's gratitude. It's going to change the atmosphere of who we are. It will change the atmosphere of your home, your marriage, your kids. It will change your parenting. It will change you as a son or daughter. It will change you as an employee when you really understand that, God, it is your will for me to give thanks in this job and where I'm at. See, folks, I love Thanksgiving season because it is near and dear, and it's a great sense that people are joyful and they are giving thanks. But what would it be like if it wasn't seasonal and it really was meant to be an everyday, every hour thing, that we come to a place to just be thankful? Because we know, God, in this, I am accomplishing your will for me, and that is to give thanks in all things. Awesome, awesome. Come on, Psalm 103, please. And I want you to see that we come to a point, even in this, where even, you know what, please, keep a finger at 103, go to Psalm 95. I want to flip to a few places here this morning because I want you to understand what it is in a sense. I love the Psalms. I love Proverbs. I love the Psalms. I try to read these as much as I can throughout the week. Psalms, when you understand the word Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalms mean praise. So this liturgy legitimately is the book of praise. That's what Psalms means. The meaning of Psalms is praise. So this is the book of praise. And the overall picture, there's many different definitions. There's many different Hebrew words for the word praise. Generally, most used in the Old Testament are seven of them, but there's actually 11. And the overall picture of all of them is to say thank you. So when we have a whole book that God inspired and God told many authors to write, it's a book that teaches us how to say thank you to Almighty God. And we've talked about husband and wife and kids and job and parenting. But what about that which is honestly, man, most important, because we recognize life man, it's a blink, it's a breath, it's a vapor. But what is it if we understand my eternity, man, my hope, my everything legit stands because Christ died on a cross for me. And in that, man, when I get the depth of that and I understand all that Jesus did for me, how am I not amazed and overwhelmed? How can I ever come to a place to stop giving thanks for that? Because the deal is this, when you stop giving thanks for all that Christ has done for you, when you stop giving thanks for a God who has poured out love for you through His Son, when you stop giving thanks for the Holy Spirit who reigns and dwells within us, when you come to a place, get this, please hear this, please hear this, when you stop giving thanks for that, that's when you begin to take salvation for granted. That's when you begin to take grace for granted. That's when you begin to take Jesus for granted. So He gives us a whole book and what it is to give thanks. It's the book of Psalms. And Psalm 95 says this. Look at this. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. I love the invitation in this. Look at the first words. Oh, come. It's an invitation. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. With what? With thanksgiving. Listen, there's so much, gang, that takes place in His presence. There's so much from praise and worship that we come to a place to recognize what it is to be in His presence. When you recognize that we are to come into His presence with what? With thanksgiving. Listen, thanksgiving, it should just come from us, man. It should be the depth of our soul. It should be the deepest part of a part of that deep part of who we are is to always come into His presence. It's a part of our prayer life. It's a part of our worship. It's a part of our singing. It's a part of our shouting. It's a part of us being on our face before God to welcome and get into His presence. How? With thanksgiving. This is how we enter in. And there's so much when you understand what takes place in His presence. Deuteronomy tells us in His presence we gain courage. Psalm 16:11 says in His presence there is joy. Isaiah tells us in His presence there's comfort. In His presence there is peace. In His presence there is rest. When you begin to realize what does it take to be in His presence? Folks, you enter in with a sense of gratitude. That's how we come to His presence. Oh, come, let us come before His presence. Again, that invitation is there. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms or with praises. For the Lord is a great God and a great King and above all gods, and those whose hand are the depth of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it. Look at this. This is creation, and His hands formed the dry land. Again, here it is the third time. He invites us, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. He says, listen, we are His, man. We belong to Him. And in that, man, have we lost the sense of what it is to honestly give thanks for us belonging to Him and the payment that was made for us to become His sheep? Come on, I want you to see this. Psalm 99, verse 3 says this. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Let them praise. So many places in Scripture. One of the meaning of the word praise, one of the meaning of how we give thanks, the word yadah in the Hebrew is this word praise, and it means to give thanks with extended hands. Listen, we are like a melting pot here at Believer's Chapel, man. We're 6.5 years old. We've got so many people from so many different denominations, so many people who've never stepped foot in church. I mean, this is what the amazing thing of what God is doing. We've got people who've never seen hands raised. We've got people who go to the extreme of hands raised. We've got people who've never been in church that don't understand what it is to sing and to shout and to raise our hands. But all through Scripture, this is what God's pattern is. That's why we're non-denominational. We don't fall under denomination. Denomination said we are going to do it this way because that's our denomination. How about we do it this way because this is God's word? It's honestly, and can I tell you this, please, as a church, man, as a church, Renee and I, we're 6.5 years old or so, or wherever we're at, and now it's been probably about 7.5 years or more when God really put Believer's Chapel on our heart to plant this church. And please hear this, man, this church is getting to that place. This is awesome. This church is getting to that place of a picture of what I wanted for worship of our King and our Lord and His majesty and His excellence and who Christ is and what He's done for us and the Spirit of the living God who reigns with within us, and we are beginning to tip that, man. We're getting to that point of a picture of a church of people who are passionately in love with Jesus, who understand what it is to give thanks and to praise and to honor Him. Hands raised high, people on their face, with instruments played with skill, with voices that are crying out in passion, leading us to a place of giving thanks and praise. And when you see this, we're seeing denominations, man, the walls of that begin to fall. People who've been so stuck in more of religion than it is relationship and giving thanks, we're seeing people's hands begin to raise. We're seeing people begin to shout, people beginning to celebrate the presence of God and coming into His presence. We're seeing husbands lead their families. I mean, but over and over the Bible says this word yadah is all throughout the Psalms, all throughout the Old Testament, and it just simply means to give thanks with extended hands. And we follow a biblical pattern through the book of Psalms of how we are to give thanks. And we are in such an amazing place in worship in this church. We're an amazing place of people who are really, I'm serious, man, they're dropping these walls and they're dropping these borders and they're dropping these denominations to just come to a place to passionately love Jesus, fall in love with our King and our Master, and they can't help but to give thanks and to praise at home, privately, and at church publicly. Coming to a place to raise up their hands, to shout out to God. Look at the Psalms 100 verse 4 says this, enter His gates. Again, how is it that we enter His gates? He's talking about His presence. Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Gang, we are called to go to a place. We're called to get ourselves in a position before God. That's what He says. Listen, we are to enter His gates. We're called to go to His courts. How? With thanksgiving. With a sense of gratitude. With a sense of being amazed. Well, Sean, you don't know my situation. You don't know how bad it's been for me. You don't know the condition of my marriage. You don't know the condition of my children. You don't know. I don't. But that still doesn't change. When you come into His presence, there is comfort. There is joy, there is rest, there is peace. That is where we can build up in our courage when we what? We enter His gates, and it has to be a sense of gratitude and with thanksgiving. That our prayer is covered with a heart that says, thank you. God, I get it. Everything I have in this flesh, everything I have in this world is just, it is temporary, God. It could be gone tomorrow. But Jesus, because of You and what You've done for me on that cross, I have a forever with You. Man, my sins have been forgiven. I have been bought back. I have been pardoned. I have been healed. And I owe You everything. In the worst day, there is something that depth within us to rise up to say, I still can give You thanks. Folks, that's how you can have victory, man. That's how you can walk as an overcomer. Even in the worst case scenario, you come to a place, the depth within who you are to say, I am still thankful for what You've done for me. And in that, folks, you'll never come to a place to take Him for granted. To be thankful for His love for you. His love is unchanging. When you grab that, man, when you taste that, when you understand Your love for me can never change. And Your love for me draws me back to a place to want to worship and praise You and honor You and glorify You. Can I just say this? I feel that there are this upcoming year, and I've only shared this with a few people. I didn't even say this in the first service, but this upcoming year, folks, I believe that we are going to see a drawing back to God. Those who once had that sweet taste, man, those who once had that seed that was planted in their heart, those are the ones who came to a place to really acknowledge Christ as Savior, and then they drift. For whatever reason, man, the enemy is very real, and he wants us to drift. He wants to get between us and God. That's his position. And I just have a sense that in 2016, this upcoming year, we are going to begin to see, and I believe it's going to start Christmas. I believe that there'll be so many people at our Christmas services that you are going to see the drifting end. And there'll be such a great return to the love that God has for them. And they will fall on their face and be thankful for God's patience and God's waiting for them to come back. Powerful picture. But where is it that we come to a place to never take that for granted? See, I think we drift because we've taken things for granted. Maybe we've taken God's grace for granted. We've allowed sin to slip in. And we've taken God's grace for granted. We've taken His kindness and His love for granted. Well, He'll love me anyways. Yes, that's true. But we should come to a place to be broken before Him, to be amazed that He would send His Son to die for that very sin, in a sense of surrender, say, I owe You everything. I owe You everything. And I think in 2016, we're going to see a lot of people return to that place of surrender. Our walk with Him is about surrender. It's all about surrender. I have been crucified with Christ. I was just even going over this verse in my heart when they were singing, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. There it is. There it is. There's a surrender. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. This life I now live. It's a new life. This life I now live in the flesh. I live in faith through the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Gang, this whole Christian walk is about surrender. And we're going to see people over and over and over. We have seen God do so much in so many lives to a sense that they lived for self and now they live for surrender. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see God do that transformation of one who lived for self and now they live for surrender. As Olivia's singing that, man, when I gave up my life, I found it all. I found my life when I gave it up. Isn't that amazing that we find everything when we come to a place to give it all to Him? That's the walk that we're looking for. And in that, folks, there's a sense of giving thanks. Hey, if I can have the ushers go back and begin the process of our communion, please. And if you're in this place, you really don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, man. You've never come to that place to honestly surrender your life to Him. We've never come to the place to really understand all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, to really understand that salvation is a free gift, man. I don't have to earn it. There's nothing I can do about it. I stand before God filthy and sinful, but yet because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for me on the cross, His blood has washed me white as snow, and that's it, man. That's the ticket. That's the only way is to get to heaven is through Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. One way. It's Christ. You've never come to a point to really, really grasp that. Not because you go to church, not because you're raised in a godly home, because you've actually made that absolute place of surrender, to repent, to believe, and to surrender in Christ. Before we take communion, if you could just bow your heads, please. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning to really say yes to Jesus. Father, please help us in this morning. God, if there's any in this place who just don't know You, just really don't know You, Father, I'm asking that by Your Spirit, Father, You would draw them in. God, it has to be Your work, God. Father, You would draw them in this morning. That we would recognize the sin that has separated us from You. But we recognize Your love for us and the blood of Christ that has conquered all sin. And we come to a place here and now to turn from sin, to repent from sin, to change our mind towards sin and say, it separates me from God. And to walk in a sense of surrender, to walk in a sense to be before You. You would simply say, Father, forgive me. God, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I confess that You are Lord. You are Master. You are Supreme. And I know that there is sin in my life, and I'm asking that You would forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and turn from my sin. And Jesus, I acknowledge You as my Savior, and I confess that You are Lord. And I believe that You are alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the throne, right hand of God for me. And God, I ask that Your Spirit would fill me here and now, that all things would become new. All things would become new. I ask that You would forgive me this morning. Amen. As the ushers are passing that out, man, I just want you to hear this. Psalm 103 says this: bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I love this. Three times. Bless the Lord. You know what the word bless here? It means give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me. Folks, that's the depth of who we are. All that is within me. Give thanks to His holy name. Bless the Lord, or give thanks to the Lord, oh my soul. I love this. It says this, Psalm 103. And forget none of His benefits. Isn't it amazing that time and time and time, three times He says, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. And in that, don't forget. Give thanks, because I believe that when you are thankful, and when you are thankful, and it oozes from the depth of with all that is within me, bless His holy name, with all that is within me, I will give thanks. It will be who I am, is to be a grateful, thankful, amazed, stand in awe of what God has done for me. And in that, folks, when you're constantly giving thanks, how is it that you can forget? Isn't it incredible that He puts these things together? Three in one. Three times. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. And then He says, don't forget. Because I believe that when you are over and above in giving thanks to the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, the depth of who I am is a sense of gratitude for what you've done. And when you do that, folks, you can't forget. Because listen, when you come to a place to forget to give thanks, that's when you begin to take things for granted. And He says this. These are the benefits, folks. They're amazing. Who pardons all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. And I believe that God the Father can heal any sickness and disease. But here, because it's tied with pardons and our iniquities, it's tied with forgiveness, I believe here He's referencing making us whole morally and spiritually. It has to do with salvation. And not a physical sickness, but a spiritual deal. Who pardons, who releases, who forgives all our iniquities, all. Who heals all of our diseases. He comes to a place, heals, it means to make whole, to cure, morally and spiritually. Who redeems your life from the pit. I love that. The word redeems, it means He delivers. He redeemed, He bought us back, and in that, He delivered us from the pit. What's the pit? Folks, this is the other eternity. Everybody lives forever, folks. Either in heaven, in bliss with God Almighty, in the presence of Almighty God, based on what Jesus has done for us, or those who've rejected God and those who've said no to salvation, they come to a place forever and eternity to live in a pit. And God says, listen, I have bought you out of that. I have delivered you from that through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, listen, I am the Redeemer. I have purchased you. I have bought you out of... Gang, we have everything. Everything to be grateful for. Everything to be thankful for. Why? Just in this, man, for my eternity belongs with you. You have delivered me and paid for me that I never have to worry about hell in the pit. I never have to worry about damnation. I never have to worry about darkness. I never have to worry about gnashing of teeth. I never have to worry about being separate from you for an eternity. But God, there is a forever with you because you delivered me from that and you placed me in a sense that absent from this body is to be home and to be present with the Lord. And in that, folks, we are to give thanks. And He says this, verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you. Get this, please get this. The word crown, it means to surround you. So it's like a crown, it surrounds your head. He has surrounded you with loving kindness. Passion. Have you ever really been in that moment where you need it, man? You need God's love just to surround you. You're in a place of hurt, you're in a place of brokenness, you're in a place of hopeless, and you just, I need to be in the presence of God. And man, you know that this verse becomes true when you understand, man, there has been something, there's His love and His compassion, it has overwhelmed me, man. It has come on me and it has just surrounded me. God says, don't ever take it for granted. Be thankful in those moments that God's love just surrounds you. And it says He satisfies you in your desires. Or He satisfies you in your years. Or your version may say, He satisfies you in your mouth with good things. And He renews you like the eagles. That's the benefits that we have from God, folks. How is it that we're ever not grateful? Day after day. How many times a day do we honestly say thank you to God the Father who created us to live in such a passionate relationship with Him? Come on, if you would just bow your heads, please. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for this morning. God, again, you've reminded us what it is to give thanks for even the temporary and for the eternal. God, I think we want to walk in a sense to do your will, and in your will there is given thanks. Jesus, we take communion this morning. It is a reminder of what you've done for us. Jesus, you said, do this in remembrance of me. You said, don't forget this. Don't ever take it for granted. That's what you've said. Don't ever take it for granted. Do this and remember my body, which was broken for you. Remember the blood was shed for forgiveness. Remember that you are free. Remember that you have been pardoned. Remember that you have been bought back. Remember that I surround you and I love you. Don't ever forget that. That's what this means. Jesus said, don't forget. Jesus said, don't ever take it for granted. But no. No man take my life, but I gave it up for you on purpose. It was the plan from the beginning to lay my life down for the sheep. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Folks, that this morning we would just be amazed at what he's done for us. Be reminded from the depths of our heart to give thanks. The night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, folks. In the same way, he took the cup. He said, this is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. God, thank you so much. Jesus, we just come before you to honor you and to worship you and to thank you and to praise you. We just come before you this morning to say thank you.